God has called us to the highest location in heaven, and he's given us all authority and power to live and move in this earth and have our being in him, to walk like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in great authority, love, the compassion of God. God has given us his Holy Spirit, and so he energizes in us what he wants us to manifest and what he wants us to declare. He supplies the love, he supplies the faith. He energizes that love in us. He energizes that compassion in us. He gives us that spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that perfect wisdom to walk in each and every situation in lifetime, that we can walk as sons of God in this world, that we can rule and reign in this life by one Jesus Christ, that we're not doing things in our own effort. We're not doing things in our own strength. So our true state, our true reality is that as he is, so are we. Our true reality is that we are seated at God's right hand in the heavenly places. Our true reality is that we have great authority. The true reality is that we are righteous, that we are justified, we are sanctified, and we are redeemed. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We can stand before God without any sense of condemnation, guilt, shame. And as someone was sharing me the other day, which actually was Patty, you know, condemnation is a sentence of death. You know, so when you condemn yourself, that's what you're basically doing. The carnal mind is enmity against God. And so we don't think from that place because we are a new creation in Christ. The spiritual mind is life and peace. That's where happy Bill is, right? That's where our joy and peace and believing is. God has given us a lively hope. He's given us a future. He's given us a expected end. And all we have to do is stay with God. And God says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we don't have to worry about what other people are doing, what other people are saying. But my will is to do my Father's will. And each of us can have that heart and mind. And this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to focus on him. He has every supply for you. He has the perfect direction for you. God has ordered your steps. He set you upon your high places. So all we got to do is follow. It's just very simple. Obedience unto God from a loving heart, because we know that God has the perfect plan. He has the perfect direction. He wants our lives to affect the whole world. Just one man. It takes one person believing God and being humble to God, that God can affect the billions. He really can. He done it through one man, Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now it can come by us because it's in us. And we've been made that righteousness. We have that grace. We have that mercy. We have that truth. We have that spiritual wisdom in the revelation of knowledge of Jesus Christ. We are tapped right into that fountain of living water, the source of all our supply. God is the source of all your supply. He knows all your needs spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, where you live, what you're doing, everything that pertains unto life and godliness. God has that supply already met. It's in the spiritual. So how we bring these spiritual realities into the physical is when we are orientated in our minds to God, to do the will of the Father from the heart, to be directed by him, to say what God says, to think what God thinks. And we can. Okay, we got the mind of Christ, and we got access to the mind of Jehovah. So we can go boldly to that throne of grace to find mercy, help in the time of need. We can discern situations. You know, God has given us this gift so that we can be enlightened by him, that he can navigate us as we are humble to him, as we're listening to him, as we ask him. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. So whatever anyone's saying, you've got the gift of Holy Spirit in you to discern. You can't go to the left or to the right when you're being led by him. Okay, but when we take our eyes off God, when we stop looking to God, when we start listening to education of anybody else, somebody else's knowledge, somebody else's take on things, then when we depend upon that, rather than living God to direct us in our life day by day moments, then we can lose focus. We can become cooled down. We can just become happy with where we are. God doesn't want any one of us, no matter what age we are, to stay where we are. We are going from faith to faith. And God wants to really show you great and mighty things that you know if not. When we think about Moses, he really started his ministry at 80, when he was in full force and flow with God. When we think of Samuel, he started as a young man. God is not a respecter of person. God is the searcher of all of our hearts. And when we trust his word to us, when we take what he says to our hearts and we orientate ourselves and we ask God to lead us and we ask God to guide us and we know who we are in Christ, we know what Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord and Savior, accomplished for us so that we can have this. God made it available through him. And it took the obedient will of the Lord Jesus Christ to follow through and do what the Father wanted. God was energizing him. God was working with him. Well, listen, it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is energizing you. God is giving you his perfect wisdom that if you apply it, that you will see great things happen. He can speak to you through the scriptures. He can speak to you through the Spirit. He can speak to you through a revelation. He can speak to you in dreams. I've had plenty of them, by the way. And when God speaks, you know. No one can discount. You just know in the core of your being, my Heavenly Father has spoken to me. My Heavenly Father has given me a direction. It doesn't matter somebody else's opinion about that revelation to me. When God says to me, Lawrence, say what you want. Now, this was already written. This has already been in the pages of the scriptures. But it was a revelation to my heart, a different take, a different angle. Say what you want, not what you see. You've been saying what you see. As you think in your heart, so are you. So change your thinking. Change your words. Your words are very powerful. They are framing your world. Your thoughts are also very powerful. You're drawing to you what you're thinking. You're drawing to you what you speak in. You're drawing to what you're acting upon. So God wants us to have perfect heavenly words. These words for this day and time right now, which will fall into line with what is written. It won't go cross purposes at his word. Paul got wonderful revelation and knowledge from God. The revelation of Jesus Christ to Paul's heart was the mystery. God showed him all these wonderful things that we now have. One of those greatest records that God gave to Paul was in Ephesians, the greatest revelation given to the church. And I was sharing with someone today, you know, in that someone divided that up, which is actually good, into when you read the first three chapters, the next chapters, and the next chapters, sit, walk, stand. You know, really, we walk and then we sit down, but God says sit, which represents the rest. We enter into the rest of God. We cease from our own works. We cease from our own knowledge and allow God to give us the things that he wants us to have, the direction he wants us to take. So when we're resting, we're seated. We're seated. What happens when you're seated? You're sat down. I'm sat down right now. So I'm seated. I can receive from God. I can be ready to go. I can be ready to hear, swift to hear, slow to speak, do the things that God gives me to do. And then I can walk in the truth that he gives me. He's leading me in the walk. He's guiding me in the walk. Paul speaks about walk in love and, you know, husbands love the wife and wife reverence the husbands and all this type of stuff. Be followers of God as dear children. Be imitators of him. Wonderful, great advice and wisdom. But there's more. There's a lot more. God hasn't stopped. And it will go and flow with what is already written, because God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. So in this wonderful walk, we practice what God is showing us. We practice these things and we be strong in them. And the last thing in the book of Ephesians is to stand. So you've got your sit, you've got your walk, and then you'll stand. You've done everything. You're resting in God. You're doing the things God is giving you to do. You're doing all that you know to do. And whether things are going good or bad, all you do is stand. You just keep staying with God. You speak in tongues. You speak by the Spirit of God. You preach forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. You honor God with your substance. You stay connected within the body. as God directs you, who he wants you to be fed from. You be strong in those things. What is to be strong in the Lord? It's not to be strong in your own might, ability, or effort. God says, be strong. And all it is a decision for us to decide to be strong. Okay, my God said to me, be strong in the Lord, in Jehovah. And what is Jehovah saying today? What does he want us to do? How does he want us to move? He wants us to move like the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to be at one with him in heart, in mind, and in purpose and words. And he wants us to speak the words that he gives us just like Jesus Christ did. Because we're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what are we following? How did Jesus speak? How did Jesus move? How was Jesus obedient? He'd done everything that the Father gave him to do. And it's available for us to do that moment by moment, bit by bit. And God is energizing that strength. So when we decide, God infuses that strength. He helps us. He works with our faith. He encourages us. And so we can be strong in that speaking in tongues. Because speaking in tongues is very powerful. Prophecy edifies the church, not just prophecy like as in manifestations, speaking in tongues, prophecy, interpretation of tongues, but prophecy, speaking by the Spirit, edifies the church. It brings comfort. It brings direction. It brings edification. Everything I'm saying here is in the scriptures, guys. You know, you can go and check it out. You can listen through this again. And then if you really, you know, want to see where it's in the scriptures, then you go and find where it is written. All right? Because it is written, what I'm saying, and it's there. And when you apply it, then you start to walk in power. Because you're not doing it from your knowledge or your intellect of what you know, but you're doing it as being directed by God, because he knows exactly how to aim you. And so we aim at the prize of the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We run our race with God. We can't run it on our own. When we start running on our own, we start getting discouraged. Okay, so God wants you to know that you are quick, you are powerful and sharp, because his word's living in you, his Spirit is in you, your words are life and energy. When you speak God's words from your mouth, great things happen. This is your true state. This is your true reality. Okay, like this lighter is a lighter. That's the reality of this lighter. We are sons of God, filled with the Spirit of God, seated at the highest location in the heaven of God, at the right hand side of God in Christ Jesus. We are heirs of God. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And if we want to honor our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, then we should be led by God. We should do what he done. We should follow his footsteps. And God will open up great doors for you. So praying for the laborers. Jesus Christ encouraged this to his disciples. We also encourage this to the people that connect with us. See, the enemy wants to sidetrack you with half-truths. The enemy wants to sidetrack you with your circumstances, with your emotions, with your thoughts and feelings. He wants to contain you and keep you where you are, where you just become happy where you are. Well, at least I know God. At least I can speak in tongues. I've got a roof over my head. And I've got a nice family. These are wonderful things and we should be very thankful for them. Don't get me wrong in what I'm saying. But that's it. There's more to life than that. There's more to life than that. There's people to reach. There's people that are sat in darkness in the shadow of death. And God wants you to open your mouth. He's given you the authority. God has put the ball in your court. It's in your court. Now, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to run with it? Or are you going to keep it? Sit on it. Let it stay on the side. You know, we've been given the greatest gift of all, the gift of Holy Spirit. Are we going to bury it and sit on it? Or are we going to trust God and get rid of our fears? Because God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. And the only reason why some people don't speak up is because they're afraid of what other people will say to them. They're afraid that other people will move away from them. Well, God says, come out of your fear. Come out of your fear. I haven't given you a spirit of fear, but be energized by me. Enjoy this wonderful, happy, heavenly life that I've given you. My child, I won't let you down. And so Sangit done a great sharing on my website called All Green Lights Are Go, or Are On, something like that. Fantastic encouragement. See, the green light has already been given. Everything's been done in Christ. Now, the way that we need to give God the green light. So when we speak in tongues, we're giving God the green light to bless us. When we decide to connect and do what God says, then he supplies everything we need in the wisdom and the understanding. When we decide to orientate ourselves to God on a daily basis and put him first above everyone. And I mean, you need to put him first above everyone. Wife, children, grandchildren. Because I know, see, God's given me wisdom, right? And the wisdom is, if I put them first, well, I better go and make sure the wife's all right first, or I better make sure she doesn't want me to do fellowship time. Well, I've got to keep my wife happy. I've got to love my wife as Christ loved the church. Context. Who's first? When God's first, then your wife is blessed, right? As a man, right? You might be a woman, right? So whatever context that falls for you. But I know if I keep my God first, my family's blessed. My family's prospering. My family is taken care of. My family's protected. God first. Like for me, as you can see, I'm very deadly serious, or lively serious, not deadly. I'm very lively serious. It's God first, and it's such a great joy. You know, and there's sometimes when Kim don't agree with me with what I'm doing, but God will always show it to her. So I just stay silent. I say, love, this is what I'm doing. This is what God's put in my heart. I love you, but God is first, and you will see this to be right. And God always does that. She can verify what I'm saying to you. So, like, God first above relationships, above everything else. Then he's going to take care of your relationships. He's going to take care of your kids, your wayward kids, or the kids that are causing you problems. Right here, take care of them. If you put him first, if you trust him, then when he asks you to open your mouth to speak to them, then when you do it with God, you're going to do it at the right time where you're going to touch their hearts. Because God's timing is absolutely perfect. And God is with you in every situation. He really wants you encouraged. Like, he really wants you to really focus in further. Don't get lackadaisical and happy where you are. Go for more. Go for more. There's so much more. We haven't even touched the iceberg, the top of the iceberg yet. God's got so much to bless you with, to make you happy. And he wants you happy. He wants you to enjoy every day. He wants you to spend time with your family. He wants you to bless them and do the good in their life. And to do good for the people by you, your neighbor, whatever you want to call it, right? The people that come in and out of your, he wants you to be that blessing. I think you might remember I shared with you, going back maybe 6 months or a year ago, that I hadn't heard from my two older brothers and my older sister. My young sister, Rebecca, who lives just down the road, you know, she keeps in contact. And it really troubled me that I didn't even get a text, not a phone call. And I'm thinking all types of different things. And so God said, Lawrence, just pray for him, pray for them. So I was praying for them. And then the other week, weekend just gone, Sunday, yeah, that's right. God said, Lawrence, write them. And so I wrote a letter and I sent it to their Facebook and I unsent it because I thought I want him to read it to make sure that everything I put in there was wonderful. So I just wrote a letter to them saying, look, I'm quite concerned that I haven't even heard from you for 3 years. Not even a text, and I see that you're liking each other's posts, but you don't bother with me. Have I offended you? And then I gave them get-out clauses. Am I being oversensitive here? You know, so I was trying to be as loving as I could in that, and God really gave me the wisdom to write this message. And so I unsent it, and then I waited till the morning, and then I said to Kim, oh, I wrote this letter. I was really inspired to write this to Tony, Richard, and Nicola, my siblings, my older siblings. And I said, I haven't heard from him, nothing. Like, it was bothering me, even though I prayed from like God told me to. God told me to pray. But then he brought me to a point, because I was obedient, he then showed me what to do. So Kim read it, she said, love, send it. That is really such a loving, you know, reminder that, you know, we need to stay in contact. So I sent it to them individually. And the wonderful replies I got really, like, made me kind of cry. You know what I mean? Like with tears of happiness, because it was very quick. They were straight on it. As soon as they read it, they replied straight away. You know, because you can see when they've read it. And they replied straight away to me. And then this Wednesday just gone, I got to meet my brother, Richard. And I haven't seen him for 3 years. He lives just 2 miles up the road. And he said, Laura, he said, I'm so, you know, sorry that you felt like that, that you felt hurt. I said, I didn't feel hurt. I just wondered if I'd done anything wrong to you. Because I'm hurt from you. Like, and I've only ever done you good. Like, you know, I've only ever blessed you. And so we was there having this coffee and having a bit of a laugh about everything. And he was saying, how's Kim? How's everyone there? And he said, and then my brother doesn't cry. He never shows his emotions. And we sat at the coffee table and he said, how is Kim? I said, yeah, she's doing really good. No, Kim's Kim and we have fun and everything like that. And he said, you know, there's one thing I always never forget is when you and Kim, but especially Kim as well, when I was in a coma, when my lung collapsed and I was going to die, and you both come in and pray for me. But I remember Kim afterwards giving me that aftercare, coming in when I was in the IC unit, and he had tears flooding down his eyes. I was blown away because my brother is not like that, right? He especially wouldn't show his emotions in front of me. And so it just goes to show you. And then my mum was able to give him a lot of the word. My mum took the FAL class, so the things that she knew, she shared with him. He's a believer. He's not a practicing one, but now he's got this other girlfriend. She lives in another country, and she's a believer. Not like us, but she believes. She believes in God, Jesus Christ, speaking in tongues, and all that. So she's encouraging me. She said, I have my faith, Laura. Like, you know, everything is all right. God is taking care. And it really blessed me. And my older brother said, oh, right, Laura, he's the rough and ready one, Tony. a bit rough and ready, but like beautiful heart, born again as well. He come to stay with us when he come out of prison. And he got born again here in this house. And then he changed his whole life around from the life that he lived before. Still rough and ready around, but a great heart. And he wrote to me, he said, oh, Laura, you know, I love you, mate. Don't feel like that. He said, I'll arrange it that we'll all get together and go for a curry. You know, that's why I'd be going, curry and honey. You know, so, so it's wonderful. My sister Nicola, that's in, she's living in another part of, UK now. She used to live in London. She's now in Tiverton, somewhere like that, which is like Exeter way. And she wrote also to me saying, oh, I didn't even know you was feeling like that. And, you know, but then, you know, we have to remember also that we had this lockdown, all these things went on. She hadn't even seen her own daughter for 3 years. She only spoke to her the other day, you know, face to face. So, you know, sometimes we can think all the wrong things. But when we listen to God, he can show us what the real thing is. And when we just be obedient to God, then he can give us the wisdom so that we can get different situations resolved. So I'm really blessed that God's a reconciler. God wants not only you, he wants your whole family, and he's after your whole family. Satan wants you. He wants your whole family, but who's already won? God, when we keep him first, when we be that witness, we are the lights in this world, and we can make a difference. And we don't have to preach at our family either. We live the life before them. Let them see the change in us. He's seen a great change in me, because I used to be a little bit of a tearaway myself, right? But he's seen a great change in me. He's seen the wisdom from my words. And he, you know, he gave me a big hug. He doesn't do that. He's not a hugger. He gave me a big hug and he said, let's make this once a month. He said, it's my turn to buy the coffee next time. I said, okay, you definitely will be buying it next time. So when we just trust God in all of our situations, he really is at work. We don't have to be religious. We don't have to get Bibles out, but we can open our mouth and speak. We can use the wisdom of God. Just practical day living, like when Jesus Christ went to the woman at the well. No woman give me to drink. It was a physical thing he was asking for, but it opened up a well of wisdom, a well of open doors for this woman to have her need met and the whole village to come and see the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And they've seen him in the flesh, right? You know? So, you know, God is really wonderful. You know, we've got to let him work. We've really got to get out of his way and let him do the work. We don't have to try and get people to come to us. God will bring to you who he wants you to have with him. And he wants you to be given into their life. That's what God does. And we're giving you the best thing that you can ever have. And that's the wonderful words from God. And, you know, you are born again. You can discern. You know what I'm saying is right in the depths of your heart. Sometimes what you may have learned from the past may kind of counterbalance in your brain. But when you just go to God, say, Father, is this right? You show me. I put aside what I know. You show me. God wants to have a relationship with you, and he really can. And through these confessions, I'm realizing that, you know, we're getting to know God. God is able to really activate and show us many different things on a personal level, speaking directly to your heart. I'm not saying all day long, but he speaks directly to your heart. And so I'm getting clarity. God wants us to have clarity in life so we can see the path before us. We can have that direction. When we tie ourselves to people and ministries in that kind of sense, like people come to me, you ask them. I say, you go to God. Like, you really need to ask God on this thing. Yeah, I can encourage you, but really God wants you to go to him. He wants you to ask him. And if he directs you back, then he'll give the words to say. You know, but I know I can answer people, but our job is to connect people to God, guys. Jesus done the same thing. He connected people back to God. So God is the one. He's drawing all men. We lift up the Son of Man, God will draw all men unto him. How do you lift up the non of the head? To walk like Jesus Christ walked. So when you're speaking by God, you're honoring your head. Okay, you're drawing all men are being drawn to God through you open up your mouth, being that Christ in this world. As he is, so are you in this world. So these are the things that were in my heart. There's many other, I've got so much I could say. I've been on the phone constantly, the whole week, actually, morning and night, and I've had some great conversations, listened to some great things that people have said to me also. It's a two-way flow with God. No one's the I am apart from God, right? The great I am. So I love you guys, and I'm really thankful that you're coming on here. Just continue with God. Stay in the momentum. Let God do the work. You know, you sit. You rest in God. That doesn't mean say you don't do nothing, right? Just do what God gives you to do. You know, then walk the walk. Let him lead you. Let him guide you. Let him give you the heavenly words to speak. And then just stand. Just keep practicing the things. Like Sandgate done that wonderful sharing. Stay with God. That's the standing. Stay with God. You just stay with God. Stay doing the things you know that work. You know, we don't want to give people knowledge. We want to give them the things that they can apply in their life that are going to go to work for them. And so, you know, this is not a game. This is real life. No, fellowship is not a game. Why run a fellowship? No, this is fellowship. This is coming together to receive the wonderful edification from each person as God is working by the Spirit of God. So this is wonderful life to live, and you are free. You know, so the Son set free is free indeed. So we continue that. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. You're under no schoolmaster. Right? God is working in you. God is leading you. And ministers are to direct you to go to God, not join their ministry. But you go to God. You practice these things. And these people know what to do. They know to connect. They know where to honor God with their substance. And they know where to stay connected and to fellowship. You don't have to tell them. God's directing. Each one being led by God. That's simple. It's that simple. So that's what I wanted to share.